This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. While the Eastern Orthodox are preparing to celebrate Christmas on January 7th, according to the old Julian calendar, Western Christians are getting ready to celebrate the Epiphany on January 6th. It is on this day, the 12th after Christmas on the Gregorian calendar, that the Catholic Church remembers the visit of the three magi, or wise men, who arrived at the stable in Bethlehem to pay homage to the newborn Christ child. In some Catholic dioceses around the world, the Epiphany is celebrated on the Sunday after the first Saturday in January. In Greek, Epiphany means the appearance, miraculous phenomenon. For Christians, like the Star of Bethlehem, it is the shining forth of God's revelation in Jesus Christ. But just how is the Epiphany depicted in Christian art here in Italy, where some of the world's first Christians lived from the time of the Apostle Peter? Well, I talked with Christian art historian Elizabeth Lev, who says the three wise men are among some of the oldest Christian images to be found by archaeologists.
The Feast of the Epiphany is of incredible importance to the history of art, but even more so to the history of humanity. Epiphany means the manifestation. So this, from that first birth of Christ in a stable with an ox, an ass, and a couple of shepherds, we go to the arrival of the outside world that comes to pay homage to Christ. And so in the moment of the Epiphany, we realize that Jesus has come for everybody. It's the great expression of the self-revelation of God on a universal level.
So which exactly were the first Christian images that have come down to us in Christian art?
The earliest Christian images are contained here in Rome. They are catacomb images. Those are the earliest ones that are extant. Although there may be older ones, but we haven't found them yet.
So we've seen the three wise men in some of those catacombs?
The catacombs of St. Priscilla contain 2nd century, at the latest, early 3rd century, images of the three wise men, among other very, very limited number of scenes, but one of them is the three wise men. Most of the other scenes are from the Old Testament. The importance of the Epiphany is such that in some Christological cycles, the image of the Epiphany can take the place of everything. What I mean is, instead of having to show all these different images of the life of Christ, it is enough in a catacomb chapel to put the Epiphany, because all you need to know is God came into the world to show himself to you.
Who were the three kings who went to Bethlehem?
Well, the three kings undergo tremendous interpretation, reinterpretation, and reinterpretation during the course of the centuries. As a matter of fact, they are magi, which is interpreted by us today as wise men. In the Middle Ages, the idea of kingship, and so we call them the three kings. But the word magi is the word magician. These are men who are capable of great prodigies. These are men who are already very wise. They have a connection to things that are not easily accessible to people of this world. So they're seen as something that already have a contact and understanding with the invisible and, by extension, the divine. And that these three men, who are all pagan, recognize that there is this divine moment in act. The divine is coming into the world, and they travel from far, far, far away to bring homage to that divinity, shows this recognition of the foreign, the external of the coming of Christ.
There are stories that tell us there was Melchior, Gaspar, and Baldassare coming from Europe, Asia, and Africa.
That is a later vision of the names are given to the Magi in the Middle Ages. The placement is given to the Magi almost immediately. The image of Priscilla, the image of the catacombs of Priscilla, shows the Magi at least as we can distinguish today, we can't tell their faces apart. We can't really tell the gifts apart. The only thing we see is that one is green, one is white, and one is red. And so at this point, we see them as representing geographic space. They wear these funny hats that are indicative of foreigners. For an ancient Roman, they would recognize the hat as someone who was not Roman. It was a freedman's hat. And so here you have these three different colors, three different continents, three different parts of the known world that are not Rome, coming to pay homage to this king, to this child, to God. Later on in the Magi cycle, the Magi's will also represent, and to me this is one of the more interesting aspects, the sense of magician. They represent three different philosophical systems that the Christianity, the self-revelation of God, that puts to rest or supersedes, if you will. And so one of the wise men would be represented as the Eastern tradition of Zoroaster, and this sort of very complex, exotic religions of the East and these philosophical systems that render their homage that Christ supersedes them. The second thinking system, of course, would be the great Greek system, the descended from Plato, the Hellenistic tradition of thought. And again, they bear gifts and they render homage to the truth that is greater than theirs. And then finally, the last of the Magi would be Daniel, and would represent the Old Testament, recognizing the arrival of the fulfillment of the scriptures in Jesus. The Magi are everywhere. They are everywhere. In the early years, you'll see them transform from a hastily painted fresco on a catacomb wall to the carved sarcophagi. If you were to ever go to some place like the Pio Christian Museum of the Vatican Museums, you would see walls, entire walls, representing the scene of the Epiphany, because it was so important to the 4th century, 5th century people who insisted on having this image on their coffins. Then one of the most colorful, one of the most fun, interesting images of the Magi is in Santa Maria Maggiore, and you have to look a little carefully. It's on the triumphal arch above the altar, and you will see on the left and on the right, you will see the Magi. But they're not wearing the simple tunics that they've worn in the 3rd and 4th century images. They wear these crazy, multicolored, exotic costumes that look like they have sequins on them, to show, again, that idea of the exotic magician. These people from a faraway land, from different systems, these kings, this royalty, who once again bear homage to Christ. Then walk into any art museum in the world and you'll start to see the Magi represented by the best painters that Italy produced, that France produced. You can see the Magi by Roger van der Weyden, by Hugo van der Goes. You can see the Magi by Gentile da Fabriano, by Mantegna. There are so many images because this is a story that never, ever tires. And now, as of 2006, you can go to the movie theater, so you can go to your DVD rental store, and you can see the three Magi reinterpreted one more time in the movie The Nativity, where the Magi play a huge role, but they play the role of science here. They play the role of science, recognizing the greatness of Jesus.
In what way?
Well, The three Magi in the film are represented as a group of men who are surrounded by their instruments and their charts and their books and all the things that give proofs and indications. But when they realize that something extraordinary is happening, they have to get over their reluctance to leave the safety of their laboratory, to leave things in a theoretical, just understanding state, and to go out and to physically experience the arrival of this divine manifestation. And they have no doubt when they arrive, and the last thing they would expect, they arrive before a stable, and there, clearing away the sheep, there is a humble man and a humble woman and a child lying in a manger. And they don't hesitate, they don't look at each other with bewilderment, they bring their gifts to this child because they see the divine.
You're talking about this movie. We've talked about other images of the three wise men in art and architecture. But it sounds to me that it's their role or who they were was very much open to interpretation or to fantasy in a way. I mean, do we have in the scriptures very many indications as to who they were and where they came from?
No, that's why the scriptures give us a very bare-bones account of these three magi, these three wise men who came from afar and who brought gifts. And from there, the three men, the gifts, the gifts are a fulfillment of scriptural writing of Isaiah, but the
gold,
frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men, their provenance, their day jobs, they have been interpreted and reinterpreted, and that is the essence of the story, because the point of the story is the universality of Christ. And so if we could fit those three men into cages and say that these are the people that Jesus came for, then it would miss the point of being that Jesus came for everyone. So you will see images of the three wise men as old, middle-aged, and young. You'll see the three wise men as black, white, and Asian. They will be everything to everybody, because the point is that Jesus came for everyone.
Elizabeth Lev is a professor of Christian art and architecture at Duquesne University's Rome campus.